Hold to God's unchanging hand. Our scripture this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 2. This is our second message studying the life of Joseph from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Out of Egypt I have called my son. From this, we want to speak from the message, following God's direction. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for this awesome privilege that we have of coming together, of singing hymns, of worshiping you, of praying, but also of hearing your word. We're here today, God, because we don't know what the next day will bring. And matter of fact, we don't even know what the next second will bring. We depend on you. And Lord, it's not just depending on you for provision, but also for guidance. So many things, Lord, so many variables in this life. And we want to make sure that we're following the right way and doing what is right in your eyesight. Help us now, God, to learn from your word and to learn together. We thank you and we worship you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. David, we thank you for playing so beautifully. That was awesome. Amen. Amen. A couple of things happened last week. We did not have service, but we posted what we called a quick word on Facebook. And much to my amazement, over 4,800 views came to that video, and we're grateful. It also spoke to something that I think is important. A lot of times young people have ideas that us old folk would soon dismiss. But it's interesting how that when I got up in that morning, I wanted to do something to kind of share with the congregation the message that the Lord would have me preach. And I realized that I probably would not be able to do a full length something, but I was going to ask Jay when I got back to home to help me with it. And lo and behold, we had a couple of our members, our younger members, that said, "Why doesn't Pastor do something? Why doesn't he put a word out there?" And so I thought about it, and I tried it myself here at the church, because I came out and it didn't turn out good. I don't know what happened to it. They said error. So I got home, and Jay and I worked on that. But again, thank you for your suggestions. Thank you for praying for us. And most of all, thank God that this helped a lot of people that said it encouraged them, because we do need God's direction. God's direction. But I want to take you into the life of a man that many would feel he didn't do a lot, and yet he did a lot, because he was just a simple person. He was a carpenter by trade, not necessarily notable to society, but God picked him out for a special task of taking Mary as his wife, but then also following God's direction as far as the safety of Jesus Christ as he was a babe and growing up. He needed someone to be there to care for him. Yes, he was the Son of God, but the Son of God depended on man to provide for him. That's very important. Many of us are going through this world and we assume, "I don't need anybody." Well, number one, you need God. And then secondly, you'll discover as you need God that God uses people. He uses people to speak to us and to help us when we cannot help ourselves. So three things we're going to try to share with you today when we talk about God's directions. First of all, God's direction will keep you in times of trouble. But then secondly, God's direction will keep you from drifting. And then lastly, God's direction will help you discover your purpose in life. So let's look at this as we say we're going to follow God's direction. How did God speak to Joseph? God spoke to him in a dream. The first dream came when he said to Joseph, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." I know a lot of times we don't want to be involved with certain people because there's a risk of relationship. We don't know what the other person might do, and we don't know where the other person is coming from. But if God is directing you, if the Lord is leading you, you need to follow God's direction. He doesn't bring people across your path by accident. God brings them there for a reason. It may be short term, it may be long term, but the question that you and I should ask when people cross our path, how can I help? What does God want me to do? What would be the right thing for me to do at this particular time in my life, following God's direction? But then the second time that the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and the angel of the Lord spoke to him, he said, "Now take the young child and flee into Egypt, because Herod will try to destroy him." Herod is going to seek to kill him. Had Joseph not reacted or not responded to God in that warning, that would have placed the Son of God at risk. Amen. Now, I know God can make a way out of no way. I know that God can provide for us in times of danger, but we should never tempt God when God has already given us direction as to what we need to do. Don't tempt God and say, "Well, the Lord's going to keep me." Yes, he will keep you, but he will also guide you. He will also guide you. I'm going to tell you something. It's better to follow direction sometimes than to pray your way out of trouble. Sometimes the trouble is caused by us because we're not paying attention. We're not heeding the warnings of God. I believe that the Lord speaks to us. His message is clear to us, but sometimes we read the Bible and we just don't get it. Or we don't want to get it. And we find ourselves in trouble, even when you didn't cause the trouble, you can find yourself in trouble because you didn't listen. You weren't paying attention to the signs. Most of the people in the Bible that the Lord deals with, they had some type of difficulty, some situation that was going on in their life. That's why we encourage people, read your Bible. And even though they may not be the exact circumstances, but they could be very similar to what you're going through and what I'm going through. And if I would pay attention and follow direction, it will keep me in times of trouble. Notice I said, keep you in times of trouble. I didn't say keep you from trouble. The Christian life is not about avoiding trouble. It's finding God. It's discovering God. That's why our theme this year, the Lord has led us to, is discovering God together, because it's not just what I go through and what you go through. We are a church. We have a relationship and a responsibility to take care and to pray for one another. Do we always do it? That's another question. But we're supposed to. We're supposed to be the body of Christ. We're supposed to help each other in times of trouble. We're supposed to be there as a support system and an encouragement to the body of believers. God warned Joseph and said, "Joseph, I don't want you to be taken by surprise as what's going to happen. Herod is going to try to destroy the child Jesus." Now, there were a lot of people, they were elated. They enjoyed the fact. They were excited over the fact that the Messiah has come. The shepherds, they left that place in Bethlehem telling the good news about a Savior's come. And as the angel had told them, he brought great joy. Simeon in the temple waited for the consolation, waited for God to reveal his comfort to Israel. And when he saw him, he blessed them. There were a lot of people rejoicing. There were a lot of people happy over the fact a Savior is born. Anna the prophetess, when she found out that Jesus was born, she rejoiced and began to tell all of those who came into the temple and who looked for deliverance in Israel. A lot of people rejoicing, except Herod. I want to tell you something. There are enemies that you don't even know exist, but they do. If Jesus Christ had enemies, you have enemies also. So rather than you trying to always be on the defensive, how am I going? If you keep up with your God, you don't have to worry about your enemies. If you find out what his directions are, you won't have to worry about, why is this one talking about me? Why is this being done against me? If you know the Lord is for you, you don't have to worry about those who are opposed to you. Amen? God will keep you. He will direct you in times of trouble. Matthew 2 and verse 2 says, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Why was he troubled? Because he was king. And even though Jesus was a baby, he was a threat to Herod. So when these wise men or these magi came, when they came from a great distance, they weren't there when Jesus was born because they came to the house where he was living. All right? And so when they came and the news spread that these wise men had come, Herod was troubled because they were talking about this king. And he was the king. And he didn't know about this birth. And so he inquired, and the Bible says all Jerusalem was troubled with him. Herod even said, when you find him, bring me word that I might come and worship him. We know that he had evil in his heart because the Savior had come. So God was going to keep Jesus in this time of trouble because that was God's son. Now, let me tell you something. Let me apply this to you right now. You are the body of Christ. God never once made you a guarantee that you'll never have problems. But what God did say, I will keep you in your trial. I will bless you and I will help you. I will be your strength. As a matter of fact, if you didn't have trial and if I didn't have trials, I wouldn't know how strong God is. I would lean to my own understanding. I would say, well, I got this. God, I got this. I can take care of this. But how many of you have been overwhelmed by situations that you couldn't take care of? And the Lord came through. He guided you. Sometimes you lost things, but you didn't lose your life. Sometimes you had to go through hardship, but the Lord still was with you. Even in the times that were most devastating, God was still there to give you comfort. God will keep you in your times of trouble. The Bible said that when the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, he said, now arise, take the young child. As a matter of fact, after the wise men had visited, this is strategic here, after the wise men had paid their visit, then God said to them, okay, take the young child, go into Egypt. Now, why? What was that all about? Well, the wise men had to come and give them the provision. Amen? People said, God can make a way. Yeah, God can make a way, and the way is in somebody's pocket. Amen. And if you would listen to God, the Lord will have you to be a part of helping those who are in need, because guess what? It's sooner or later going to be your time to be in need. And you're going to depend on people. And what would happen if this world would stop this attitude of gimme and start sharing? Well, what would happen? We would find that we would meet the needs of many people in this world. The world is starving because somebody's holding the bread. The world is going through pain because somebody's saying, it's not my responsibility. If everyone would do their part, if everyone would just simply follow God's direction, it would help each of us to get through our times of trouble. Then the second thing that we find is not only would it help us through our time of trouble, but it'll keep you from drifting. The Bible says in that verse 14 that Joseph arose. He was asleep when the Lord told him this. He arose and did as the Lord told him to do. He got up from his sleep. And he arose and did what God had commanded him. He didn't drift and say, well, wait a minute, God. He didn't do like Lot did. Lot had suggestions for God. When the Lord told Lot, get out of Sodom, Lot said, well, here's a little village called Zoar. Let me go there. He wanted to compromise with God. If you notice, Joseph is not a man who says anything. As a matter of fact, Scripture does not record a word that he says. Doesn't record it. What it does record is that he did what the Lord told him to do. Now, if you notice a carpenter, how many of y'all got carpenter friends? How many of y'all claim to be carpenters? If you notice, sometimes carpenters, they don't talk a lot. They're thinking about outcomes. They can look at raw material. They can look at a board and see a building. They can look at a piece of wood and see a piece of furniture. They're contemplating, they're thinking, Not to say that others, you know, don't think, but they're looking at the design of something. And that's going to bring us to our next topic, but I want to get you into the design. God has your life designed. God knows what you and I need to be. And a lot of times, if we get in on the conversation, hey, God, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this game plan. What if on the field, the coach calls something? He said, I want this play to go. And the player said, what? You want me to do what? Why can't I go this way? Or why can't I do this? It's not your game. You're in the game, but it really belongs to God Almighty. How many of y'all discovered that? Ran the wrong play. Ran into a whole bunch of stuff. Amen. Because you had to make your own, you had to send your own message. You don't want to make that mistake. You don't want to assume that this is your plan. I recall in the reading of the scripture, as a matter of fact, my mind was led to a woman by the name of Hagar. How many of y'all know about her? Hagar in the book of Genesis, the Bible says the Lord found her as she was wandering and drifting, and the angel of the Lord asked her two questions. Where did you come from and where are you going? She had a disagreement with Sarai, but let me tell you something. Before you run away from home, make sure you got somewhere to go. Amen. Amen. Before you just up and quit your job, make sure you got another job. Hello. Before you just say, I want to leave this marriage, make sure that you're doing the will of God. Oh, Lord, am I preaching to somebody? I didn't mean to get that deep. Before you just jump to conclusions because something is causing you a little bit of difficulty, you better wait and listen for God to speak to you and for God to tell you this is the right way. This is the way you do that. You don't lean to your own understanding. You trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your might, and you say, God, you got this. All I need to do is follow. Joseph could have come up with a bunch of excuses to say, hey, first of all, the baby ain't mine. Amen? But yet, even though the child was not his biologically, there was a spiritual attachment that he had. This would be Joseph's savior. You better hold on to things because the very stuff you throw away, you're going to find out you might need it. Everybody looking for a perfect world. Nothing's perfect these days. But I tell you what, if you allow God to work with you and to work through that, it'll keep you from drifting. So here was Hagar wandering around in the desert because where she was at was a desert place. She was going to run out of water. She was going to run out of provision, but she's mad. She's into her feelings. Doesn't know where she's going. She's drifting. And many of you in 2017, you're going to drift if you don't pay attention. Amen. A lot of us will listen to the political arena. I don't listen to it. I got to live through it. Amen. I don't worry about who's in the White House. I worry about who's on the throne. I don't worry about who's in Congress because you know what? At any time God wants to, God can just cause their mind to go this way or that way. The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap for that one. Pay attention to what is going on. God is fulfilling prophecies. As a matter of fact, Jesus was leaving the land of Israel, not because he was running away, but there was a prophecy that he had to fulfill in the book of Hosea that said, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, if he never got to Egypt, God could never call him out of Egypt. Hello, somebody. He didn't just run away because God could have protected him in the land of Israel, but he wanted to let you know, I've been where you got to go. I have come out of things. Jesus was not just a divine figure. He lived in a body just like you. And why am I preaching like this? I'm preaching because I know that he knows what I'm going through. People say, well, I can't relate to God. He doesn't know when I'm struggling. He's been to Egypt. Hello, somebody. Look at somebody and say, he's been to Egypt. He's been there. He's been through times of hardship. He's been through times of loneliness. He's been through times where his friends just walked away from him. But guess what? Jesus was the Son of God. He was the living God. And guess what? If he went through it, he can show you how to make it. You don't want to drift. I got to close here. You don't want to drift. You don't want to drift in these times. You want to stay with God. You want to pay attention. Joseph knew exactly what he needed to do. It's like when a carpenter has a blueprint. He knows exactly where the nail needs to go. He knows exactly what the dimensions are. He could frame it in his mind that God's, this man was not a prophet. He was not a religious leader. He was just a man that the Bible calls a just man. Now you can be just a man, or you can be a just man. Lord, listen to this man preacher. A just man will say, even though I didn't cause this, I'm going to do what I can. That's a just man. Now, just a man said, look, ain't my problem. I'm going back away. Sometimes I've been just a man. Amen. Sometimes you've been just a man. Come on, admit it. Somebody else messing up, acting crazy. Back away. You know, today might be your day to play stupid, but I ain't going to join you. Come on. Y'all looking at me like I'm the only. We've all done it. When people start acting up, we start backing up. Hello. But when you know God is giving you direction, when you know that the Lord cares for you, when you know that God is not going to settle with you just drifting, that's when you start paying attention and start turning your mind to God so that he can direct your path. Joseph was steadfast. He went into Egypt and he stayed there until the Lord directed him. The last thing about it is that when God is directing you, when you have God's direction, it will lead you to your purpose. How many of us sincerely want to find your purpose? And don't say, well, I just want to be happy. It ain't about happy. It's about being fulfilled. And sometimes you got to shed a whole lot of tears to find fulfillment. But when you look back over it all, you can say, God, it was worth it. I can imagine that Joseph's mind sometimes would start thinking about, well, Joseph, you sure you're doing the right thing? It's like when I start working on something at the house, my wife would tell me, you sure you know what you're doing? Second guessing my work. And telling me, you're good at accounting, you're good at paperwork, but I don't know about woodwork. And my thing is, I got two thoughts on my mind. I can call somebody. But you know, when you have something in your mind and in your heart that you know is right, and you know that God put it there, Joseph didn't argue with God. He simply did as the Lord had bid him. A lot of you today, you didn't choose your circumstance. Your circumstance chose you. Either you will find your purpose in that, or you will bow out and go your own direction. Either you will follow God and say, Lord, where's this leading me? And the Lord says, don't worry about it. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Follow me, and I will guide you. You've got to discover your purpose. The Bible says that when we follow God, when we know his will, we know that he has plans for us. You don't allow yourself to slip into the mold of this world. The world wants to shape you. It wants to design you after its own way. Greed, fear, pride, all of these things the world wants to give you. But God wants to give you peace. God wants to give you contentment. God wants you to enter into this world and to be different than what the world is saying. Yes, when we follow God's direction, not only will it keep us in times of trouble, not only will it keep us from drifting, but it will help us find our purpose. The Bible says in Hosea that Jesus, Jesus, it refers to Jesus in this verse, Hosea 11 and verse 1, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. Now, we'll deal with this on next week. But while that verse seems to be there as a comment, it really tells us about God's purpose. God's purpose. See, we weren't born by accident. Even though sometimes you say, well, maybe I'm in the wrong family. You're in the right family. As dysfunctional as it might be, you're in the right one. Because God's going to use you to glorify and honor his name. The Bible allowed God's son to go into Egypt. But he knew that Egypt was not his ministry. Amen. And it says that out of Egypt I have called my son, because God wanted him to minister to Israel, not Egyptians. Lord, have mercy. You see, when you turn your focus and your attention to God, you're going to stop looking for your refuge and your safety. But then you're going to say, Lord, how can you use me? How can you use me for your glory and for your purpose? There are three things that you will get when you find your purpose. Number one, God's grace. God's grace. When you begin to walk in this divine purpose and you start following God's direction, you're going to find God's grace. What is God's grace? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Amen. Joseph in this scripture, he got something he didn't deserve. If he had gone down to the bank, the first bank of Galilee, and said, look, I need a loan to go into Egypt, he would never have gotten it. But before he got there, God had already met his need through grace. The wise men came and they were magi because they were royalty. And they came from afar and they came with some bling bling. They had gold, they had gifts, frankincense, and myrrh. I imagine that they had plenty for them to go into Egypt so that they wouldn't have to stay. Amen, somebody. Ain't no stable this time. Amen. We gonna get us a suite. Hello. They went into Egypt because God had given them miraculously the provision that they need. So first of all, it's God's grace. And then secondly, it's God's provision that he has for you. God wants to provide for you. If the Lord tells you to do something and then doesn't tell you or doesn't give you what you need to do it with, you can say, but God, I don't have anything. Everybody in this room has got something. And you've got something that the Lord can use and will use if you will give him control of your life. The Bible says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. But I want you to notice that he gives us everything that we need to be a sheep. Amen? But you got to be the sheep. You got to make sure that you're doing your part. He says he leads me. Now, in leadership, you got to follow. God provides for you as long as you follow him. But if you start drifting out, that's where sheep get into trouble. They get in the wrong path with the wrong folk. Amen. Sheep don't belong hanging out with lions. Amen. And that's where a lot of people are in your relationship. You're dealing with people that will gobble you up and they will destroy you. Pick your folk you hang out with. That's what my mama told me. You better pick your company. Amen. Because if you don't, you can't pick the consequence that you find yourself in. And then the last thing that God will provide for us, not only if we follow God's direction, he will give us grace. And that he will give us also provision, but he'll give us power. You will have the ability to do what God wants you to do. Joseph was not a genius at life. He didn't have it all figured out. He was a simple person just like you and me. And yet he followed God's direction. And everything he did, the Lord made it work for his good. And the Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. His purpose. So several things before we close, I want you to remind you when you talk about God's direction, several things we need to remind ourselves. If you follow God, number one, everybody needs to follow God's directions. Not just somebody, everybody. Second thing, directions are only good if you're going to follow them. Now, wives, don't y'all say anything. Don't say anything. Just look straight ahead. Look at me. Because a lot of time, your husband could be just as lost as he could be. And you sitting over there with the, when they ask them, you got it on Google. But they say we should have made, no, I know the way. Right? Directions are only good if they are followed. This Bible, what makes it the living word is that it continues to guide millions out of your Egypt into the place where God would have you to be. It has never failed. Never failed. And it never will fail as long as we follow God. Then the third thing, there are consequences if you don't follow God's direction. I could write a whole book about my mistakes. Matter of fact, I found out two things I'm going to do, Jane, before I retire. When I retire, you know, I'm gonna be pretty good. Number one, I'm gonna write about my mistakes, and I know y'all gonna want to hear about them, right? Then second thing, I'm gonna write about your mistakes, so you want to read it. No, just kidding. Amen. Then lastly, there are rewards. And rather than just saying that we want God's material blessing, greatest reward I've ever found in life is to walk with this amazing God. God doesn't lead you from a distance. He doesn't get way ahead of you. God takes you by the hand and he gently guides you. He knows how frail you are. He knows what makes you afraid. He knows everything about you. And that's the wonderful thing about God's directions, is that you have God to show you the way. Follow his directions. Follow his plan for your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the promises. Bless us now that we'd be good followers, that we would not go to the right or to the left, that we'd keep our mind and our hearts stayed on you. The world is drifting, but let us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give the invitation. I'm going to ask that we all stand if there be one today. Perhaps you've been following your own way. You've done what Proverbs 19:25 says, or 18:25 rather. You've leaned to your own understanding, and there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Maybe you've struggled through some things. Today will be a great day to say, Lord, it's your way. So if you're here today and you're not saved, you can be. Simply hear the voice of the Lord. Is there one? Will you come? The doors of the church are open. If there are also any that need membership, you want to be a part of our church family, we invite you to be a part of us. No, we're not a perfect church, but we are a church. In the same way that God has mercy on us, he'll have mercy upon you. If there be one today, will you come? I'm going to ask that we prepare our hearts to give as the officers will come and bless us. I call on Reverend Jones to lead us in our prayer over the offering, if you would, sir.